We're going to go this morning to the book of Numbers, chapter number 17. Numbers is not a book of the Bible that gets preached about a whole lot. And so we're going to go to a rather unique passage this morning in Numbers chapter number 17. If you have your Bibles or your app on your phone or whatever you're using, if you want to follow along. If not, it's on the overhead. Number 17, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and get from them a rod from each father's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods, and write each man's name on his rod. And you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi, for there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. And then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you." So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod apiece for each leader according to their father's houses, 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. In our final verse, in verse 8, "Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms, and yielded ripe almonds." I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, that God will do it overnight. God will do it overnight. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just love you this morning and thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. And I pray today that your word would go forth and that it would be received. And just allow your anointing to continue to be in this place. Speak to our hearts, speak to our lives, and let us be changed by the power of your word. And we thank you for it today, and it's in Jesus' name, and can we all say amen. I want to begin this morning by saying that we are living in the greatest hour that the church has ever known. God is doing right now things that he has never done before, because we are believing right now for things that we have never believed before. Now, I want to tell you, I was brought up in a day and time when church was powerful, and I mean, you would just see people get filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you would see people excited about living in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I believe that we have been speaking some things into existence that we have never dared to believe God for before. We are realizing that God is waiting on us, and that it's not the other way around. God is waiting on us. We don't have to wait for God. God is ready to show up, and God is ready to move, and God is ready to do everything that he said that he would do. God is waiting on us. Well, when Moses first started out in his leadership role, the Bible said that it was God that did most of the talking. 5 times in Scripture we find the phrase, "And Moses did according to the word of the Lord." But somewhere along the line, Moses had a revelation, and he realized that I have been waiting for God to speak, and I need to start doing some talking to God myself. And then we find in Exodus chapter 8 and in verse 13 it said, "And the Lord did according to the word of Moses." Did you know this morning that there is power in your words? There is power in your word this morning. The Bible said that we have the power to speak life, or we have the power to speak death over the situations of our lives. And I believe that what is happening in our generation is that the church of God is finally realizing that we can speak some things into existence and God will fulfill the words that we began to speak. We are realizing, like it said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29, when it said, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you." According to your faith be it done unto you. God's not, we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. We are finally realizing that the scripture said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, when it said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us," not God, but the power that worketh within us. We are daring to believe for God to do mighty things in this hour that we have never seen him do before and that we have never witnessed before. Do according to the word of his people, doing according to the word of our faith, and to operate through the power that is on the inside of us. I am convinced this morning that there is enough power working in just one of us to be able to do exceedingly and to be able to do abundantly and to be able to do everything that God has called us to be and he's called us to do. It's greater than we might ask and it's greater than we might think. I can just picture Paul as he is penning this epistle. He has such revelation of God's power that he can even produce through not enough adjectives to be able to describe the mighty work and the mighty hand of God. It is exceeding. It is abundant above all that we could ever ask, of anything that we could ever comprehend, and he is doing it for us. I'm going to tell you this morning, you don't have to beg for it. You don't have to buy it. You can't buy yourself into a relationship with Christ. You don't have to complete a college course to be able to learn how to use it. You already have it. It is in you. It is for you. You need to speak some things into existence today and allow your faith to grow in Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to understand, I'm not talking about the naming and claiming and blab it and grab it. I'm not talking about that philosophy of material wealth and material possessions. I am talking about speaking things into existence. I'm talking about speaking into the salvation of your loved ones. You have a child that is lost. Begin to speak it into existence that they're going to come to the Lord. I'm talking about healing in our bodies. Healing in our bodies in a physical situation, in a physical need that you have in your life. You need a miracle from God. You begin to speak it into existence. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I received the report that my cancer had returned back into my body. But you know something? I am not receiving that. Yes, it is there, but I'm not receiving it. Because I serve a God that is a healing God. He's a miracle-working God. And I do not accept the disease that is in my body this morning. I believe this morning that there is restoration for somebody that has walked into this building today and you have backslidden and you've walked away from God. I believe this morning that there is unity for your family. There's somebody that's maybe walked away from your family. You begin to speak into existence that they're going to return. The protection of the blood over your children, you begin to speak it into their lives. We need to grab hold of the things that the Word of God has promised for His children and His promise for the church. Now, I am telling you, and I have never been more firmly convinced of anything in my life. that God is going to do things in Return Church in the very near future that is absolutely going to blow our minds. I'm talking about things that we would never believe that God, we would never even believe it if God told us beforehand. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "Behold you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told to you." I say to this church this morning, I don't care what has happened in your past. I don't care what things have happened in the past. I don't care whether we have ever seen it happen in the past. God is getting ready to do a new thing in your life. He's going to do a new thing in our midst like we have never seen or experienced before. Can you give God a big hand clap of praise this morning? In Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 18 and 19, it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall you not know it? It will make a road in the I will make a road even in the wilderness, and I will make rivers in the desert." You see, if we are going to see a new thing, we have to forget the limitations of yesterday. If we are going to see a new thing, we have to forget our preconceived ideas of how things are going to happen. If we are going to see a new thing happen, we have to remove all of the limitations from God and our faith and realize that God wants to do something great. Something miraculous, something mighty in our lives. God wants to blow our minds. Amen. In our text today, God is establishing the authority of the priesthood. He does this in what seems like a strange way. It seems that the tribes had been fighting about who was to perform the services of the priesthood. And they all wanted to have the power, and they all wanted to have the authority that came only to the chosen servants who ministered in the tabernacle. They all claimed that they were the chosen tribe and that they had been anointed of God with the power and with divine authority. And so God said, "I'm tired of all this fighting." He said, "Have every tribe send a representative to the tabernacle with a rod." Now, this sounds strange here in the tribe of Levi and especially the house of Aaron, because they had already been appointed to the priesthood. They had the label, but they did not have the power. Now, I want you to hear me this morning. They had a label, but they did not have the power. You see, there are many of us that have a form of religion, but we do not have a relationship that possesses the power in our lives. They had separated themselves from the rest of the nation by their outward holiness, by their physical restrictions, and their refusal to touch any unclean thing. Yet there was no visible show of power and authority in their lives. They were God's chosen. They had the standards down, yet there was no power. And so God calls for the tribe to come to the church, and he says, "I will show you who I have anointed to minister to the nation of Israel. Quit fighting amongst yourselves and get into my presence, and I will make manifest the anointing and the power of my Spirit in your life." The second thing that is different about this story is that God said, "Bring your walking sticks into the temple." Now, I want us to understand these rods or walking sticks were family heirlooms. They could have been 100 years old. They were dead. They were dry walking sticks. And they had not borne fruit for many years. Sticks that had been attached to a living, growing tree, but for years they had not been productive. There was no sap left in these sticks. They no longer retained moisture. They were dead and they were dry. And God said, I want you to bring those dead, dry walking sticks into my house, and I will show you who has the anointing and who has the authority. He said, I'm going to do something that you have never seen before. I'm going to do it through a dead, dry stick that has no ability to bear fruit. And then number three, finally God said, I'm going to do it overnight. Now this is what really had them stumped, because they knew that the almond tree, in order to produce fruit, that they had to have just the right soil. They had to have just the right amount of sunlight. That they had to have just the right amount of rain. And even if all of those conditions were met, it still would take 5 years for the almond tree that was planted before it could be able to bear the fruit. But God says, I am going to take what you thought was dead, without any soil, without any sunlight, without any rain, and I'm going to produce almonds overnight. I'm going to take that stick that was designed to bring forth fruit, but now has become a showplace for someone's craftsmanship, and I'm going to make that stick bear fruit. He says, I'm going to establish authority, apostolic authority, before the apostles ever come along. And I'm going to do it by taking your ideas, by taking your timetable, by taking your expectations, and I'm going to blow them out of the water. You see, it takes 5 years in perfect conditions for an almond tree to be able to bear fruit, but God said, I'm going to do it overnight. And this is what I'm saying to this church this morning. We might as well throw the blueprints for revival that we have designed up. We might as well pitch them right out the window. Because God is getting ready to do something in this hour to establish an apostolic authority in this church that is unlike anything that we have ever experienced before. In other words, maybe we've carried a label, but we haven't had the power like we need to have it. Maybe we've separated ourselves from the world, and maybe we don't touch unclean things, but we haven't seen the power and we haven't seen the authority that we need. But right now, God is establishing an authority in His church, and it's being conferred upon by those who are willing to keep His commandments. The way that God is going to prove His authority in the sanctuary, let me share with you what I feel that God has shown me in this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want us to look at the reason that Aaron was chosen to be the messenger of God. It is because in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 30, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. You see, Aaron did not tamper with the message. He didn't try to decide what was good and what was bad, and what really was meaningful and what really wasn't important. He spoke all the words of God that God had given to him. God is conferring authority this morning upon churches and believers in this generation that are keeping the message of Jesus Christ. God is going to give power to those who will speak all the words in Scripture without trying to decide what we can get rid of and what we can't get rid of and what's important and what's not really important anymore. God is going to give power to those who don't dilute His message, but just share the unadulterated Word of God. God is giving power in this generation to those who hold to the teachings of His Word and keep it pure and undefiled. I want to share with you several verses of Scripture this morning. The first one in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers." In Romans chapter 16 and in verse 17, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, "That we henceforth," or that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning of craftiness and deceitful plotting. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that teach no other doctrine." And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verses 6 and verse 13 and verse 16, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of His faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which cometh envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions." All Scripture is given in 2 Timothy 3:16, "by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3, it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers." One more, 2 John chapter 7, or 2 John 7, verses 7 through 9. "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." You see, God is going to work through those who have kept the teachings of His Word. God is going to bless those who fast and lay hold of the teachings of the faith of God, who teach the repentance from dead works, who teach baptism in water, who teach infilling in His Spirit as evidenced by the speaking in an unknown tongue, who teach a holy life that is separated unto God. You see, it's time to receive the power that comes through the power of God. The second thing that I feel that God is going to do, it is He is going to reveal His power in a way that has never been seen before. Sometimes we think we have God all figured out. We think we know how. We think we know when. We think we know why. We think we know where God is going to do a miracle. But look in the scripture at how many times and how many ways Jesus healed. He would speak the word and people would be healed. He would lay His hands upon them and touch them and they would be healed. Others would come and just touch the hem of His garment and they would be healed. They even made mud pies and put them in one man's poor eyes so that he could be healed. In the early church, they laid their hands upon the sick. They sent anointed handkerchiefs. And in one case, the very shadow of Peter fell upon a person that was passing over, and it raised that person back to health again. We need to realize that God can move in a way that He wants to. He is not bound by time. He is not bound by space. He is not bound by the laws of physics. And He's not bound by nature because He's a supernatural God. He's not bound by the universe that He created. He's a supernatural and a powerful Almighty God. The only thing that limits God is our expectation. Are we expecting for God to move? Are we expecting for God to do something mighty? You see, sometimes it's hard for us to accept a new thing. But if we are going to receive the anointing, we need to realize that God is going to bring it to us in a way that we have never experienced before, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask for. And then the third thing is this: God is going to bring a miracle through a means that we think has been long dead. I feel in my spirit this morning, there are people in our families, in our community, that at one time they were a body of the Christ. They were the body of Christ, maybe living and thriving and growing and bearing fruit. But for whatever reason, they have separated themselves from the vine. They are dead, they are dry, they are bitter, not one ounce of desire left in them to serve God, so we think. But God is getting ready to work a miracle in our midst that we have never seen before, and He's going to do it through people that are dead. Not only dead, but twice dead and plucked up by the roots. I'm gonna speak this morning that there are people that are sitting in a bar today that will be preaching the Word of God when it's all said and done. Amen. I am too. There are people that have made the statement that they would rather die than come back to church because they say the roof will fall in. But I speak this morning that those people will be singing on the praise team here at Return Church. There are people that are living what they think is the high life right now that are going to one day be teaching in our kids' journey in this church before long. God has a special purpose for the restored backslider. I had a revelation when I was studying these verses. I believe that one of the reasons that God used Peter to preach the message of Pentecost was that when he faced the crowd of 3,000 people in Jerusalem, He was looking at people who had denied Jesus, who had crucified Jesus, and who had mocked Jesus. And when they asked, "What must we do, Peter, to be saved?" A man that did not know what it felt like to have fallen may have said, "You can't be saved. You've gone too far, you bunch of heathens. You've gone too far to be saved. You've denied Jesus, and you can't claim him now." But a man by the name of Peter, who had denied Jesus, who had been miraculously restored and had been forgiven, without hesitation when they asked, he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I'm going to tell you, God uses broken vessels. God uses broken reeds to repair broken needs. And God is going to use dead, dry sticks to bring forth almonds and to bring forth fruit overnight. I will say it again to all of you parents that have backslidden children, children of backslidden parents, husbands of backslidden wives, wives of backslidden husbands, and everyone else who has a loved one that is backslidden. Don't you believe the lie of the enemy that says that your children can never come back to the Lord. Because I quote from you from the prophet Jeremiah, and he says this in Jeremiah chapter number 31. "Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border." Can you give God praise in this house? God is getting ready to produce some fruit through some sticks that have been dead and dry for a long time. And then finally, number four, and I'm going to close, if our musicians would like to return. And finally, what we think should take years, God is going to do it overnight. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, "Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are already white for harvest." You see, we must get the concept of our minds that it, get the concept out of our minds that it takes 5 years to bring forth almonds, because God can do it overnight. We must get the concept out of our minds that it takes 4 months to bear a harvest of wheat. I'm going to tell you, God is bringing forth the harvest, and he's going to do it overnight. We must get the concept out of our minds that it's going to take 5 years to fill this building. I'm going to tell you, God can do it overnight. When Hezekiah became the king of Israel, he immediately began to set things in order in the temple. Things that had been done properly for quite some time. And he got the priests and the Levites into unity. And he got them sacrificing again. And in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles 29, it says, "And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace of offerings, and the drink offerings and the burnt offering." And so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people for the things that was done suddenly. As we stand in this building this morning, when the 120 had been in the upper room for 7 days, and their spiritual houses were in order, the Bible said in Acts chapter 2, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one place, And suddenly, can everybody say suddenly? There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where the people were sitting. And then at midnight, when Paul and Silas were in prison, and they began to sing unto God, it said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands or everyone's chains were loosed. God is ready to do a suddenly in your life this morning. God is ready to do a suddenly in our midst here today. Things that we think should take a long time, God will perform it, and it will happen overnight. Almonds that should take 5 years to develop in perfect conditions, borne by healthy growing trees, are going to bear fruit overnight. Forget what you thought you ever knew of what God might be capable of. Forget what you thought you ever knew about God and how He works. We are getting ready to see the anointing of God, and God will break the yoke, and what should take 4 months and what should take 5 years, God will do it suddenly, and it will happen overnight. Can you give God praise in this house today? Dear Lord, we just worship You. God, we thank You, and we love You today. Let's just sing and worship.